and I need some volunteers to come and help me. Well done, Mercedes. Oh, and Ian as well. How about Charlie? That's good. Oh, three volunteers. Very good. So I've got some things to show you. Well done. And I want you to see if you can guess what they all have in common. So first of all, we need someone to model this lovely jacket. Miss Hayden? It fit, Ian. Are you okay with wearing that? It's sort of a unisex jacket. Okay. Oh, yeah, very small. Okay. And then Mercedes and Charlie. Can you hold that up? There we are. That's it. Okay. That's it. Right, that's that one. And then we have this lovely bag. Now, I don't know if we just sort of twist the things, whether you can see what happens when we twist them. Can you hold it up a bit and then go? Can you see what happens? Right. Okay, let me try something else then. Right. I'll get my torch. Right. Right, can you see now? Yeah. And on here as well, we have some sparkly bits. You can see the torch, yes. Yeah. I think up the top there. Can you see out the top there? They've got some sparkly bits along here. Perhaps we have to turn it there. There. Right, so what do you think the sparkly bits are? There. Yes, there. In fact, they're just glass. A mirrored glass. So when the light hits them, they reflect the light, don't they? They send the light back again. So if we had no light in here, would they shine? No, they wouldn't, would they? Because they need the light to shine. Okay. So, and it's not because they're shiny things, it's because they're reflecting the light. And normally, what would we would to see out what we look like, we'd normally have a mirror, wouldn't we? There we are. Who can we see in there? You see you, right? Oh, you see Charlie that way. That's good. That's good. With the brownies, we have a promise ceremony, and we have a magic pool that we look into. And we say that a pool is a bit like a mirror because you can see your reflection in water, can't you, if the water's very still. And we're looking for a new brownie. And I say to them, look in the pool and see if you can find a new brownie. And of course, they see themselves. Right, so they're up. Hopefully, we all see ourselves. Yes? Okay, that's good. So normally, we have a mirror to reflect what we look like, just so we don't go out with something sticking out of your hair or a button undone, so you look nice and smart. So, but even these tiny little mirrors can reflect light. They're not very big, are they? That's why it's quite hard to see them until we shine the light on them. But we need the light in order to get them to shine. They don't shine by themselves. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the people at Corinth, he said that the people there were like mirrors. And one way in which we can share our Christian faith with other people is to be like a mirror, reflecting God's glory. So it's not our glory, not showing how good we are, but it's reflecting God's glory. So that when other people look at us, they can see something of God in us. So that's quite a big responsibility, isn't it? If people look at us and they think, oh my goodness, they don't seem a very nice person, then we're not really being very good Christians, are we? When people look at us, then they're going to think, they're a nice person. I wonder why they are a nice person, why they're kind and considerate. And then we can save them. That's because we follow Jesus and we follow God. So we've got a passage from 2 Corinthians, which I'm going to read to you. It says, we Christians have no veil over our faces. So we haven't got anything over our faces to hide our faces. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. So we need to think, are we good reflectors? Are we reflecting God's glory or something else? So when we play with our friends, when we share things with people at school or work, or even just meet for a coffee or a chat, do our friends and colleagues find that because they've spent time with us, they've been able to see something of God as we've spent time together? So think about that, something to take away.
So this morning, as you'll see, instead of one longer sermon, which you might be pleased to hear, we're going to have three shorter talks, three shorter reflections, and that's our first reflection on reflecting. But all of them are going to be related to sharing our faith. And in fact, in the next two reflections, we're going to think particularly about people in India sharing their faith and how they've shared their faith. And some of you might have realised at the beginning there where all of those things came from, the jacket, the bag and the wall hanging, came from India and Pakistan. So they fit in with our theme in that way too. So secondly, we're going to think about sharing our faith by our actions and our words. And it's in that order specifically. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Use words if necessary, was what St. Francis of Assisi said. And that may sound like a bit of a contradiction in terms. Preach the gospel, only use words if you really have to. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, use words if necessary. When we think about the task that Jesus left for his followers as he parted from them at the end of his earthly life, to preach, to teach, to baptize, a task that we know is still ours today because it's one that hasn't been completed and it hasn't been withdrawn. And we may feel, I'm not really very good at explaining these things to other people. We don't know all the answers ourselves, and we may as well realize from the beginning that we never are going to know all the answers, so it's no good waiting for that. Maybe we feel we're not very good at discussions and arguments and things. So maybe our way of being a good ambassador for Christ needs to be more on the centering on Christianity being shown by the way that we live. To show our Christian faith in our lives is usually more convincing than just by talking about it anyway. When I went to India, North India, some years ago, it was very impressive to see the way in which the Church of North India are sharing their faith through their actions rather than their words. At present, it's very difficult for Christians in India to evangelize by preaching and teaching because of the Hindu fundamentalism. But they can use less confrontational methods. I went with a group to the state of Jharkhand, which is near the border with Bangladesh on the east side. And it's a state that's particularly known, unfortunately, for its corruption. It's not an easy place for Christians to work. The Church of North India Social Development Department are working amongst the tribal people in that area. Those people are some of the very poorest in India, and India is already a poor country in many respects. They're the most disadvantaged in Indian society. They're mostly animists, spirit worshippers, rather than Hindus, and it was their villages that we went to visit and to stay in. And we were led by a Church of North India minister, Father James, who'd worked among the tribal people in that area for over 20 years. And as we were travelling to the area we were going to stay, he told us that when he first started work in that area, it was dangerous to go in. He couldn't go in alone. He had to be escorted by somebody that the people in the area already knew, not least because the people practiced cannibalism. So, of course, my first question was, do they still do that now? And he said, well, no. In the villages that we're going to, they don't practice cannibalism anymore. But you see those hills we're just passing? Well, over there, I'm not nearly so sure. I think they probably still do. And as a kind of proof that the old ways were still going very much alive and well, we went a little bit further in two vehicles, because there was a group of us and all our stuff for staying. And what we met was quite a large group of women walking along the road towards us. And all the women were carrying a brass water jar on their head. So we thought, oh, well, obviously it's peak time at the well here. They're going to get their water. But then the women deliberately stopped in the road in front of us and they blocked the road. And we had to stop. The road was full of people. So we thought, what is this about? And then somebody came to talk to us from their group. And we discovered it was a religious festival day, and the women were actually on their way to a local holy man, and they believed taking him the local evil spirits. The local evil spirits were what they were carrying in their brass water jars, not water at all. And they believed that the local holy man would cast out those spirits and cleanse their villages. So they'd stopped us, they said, to collect our contributions for their holy day. If we didn't pay up, they would uncover their jars and release the evil spirits onto our vehicles. That was their plan. So after a bit of discussion, contribute we did. And then they cleared the road for us and they went off peacefully. Now it's amongst those people that the church is working through the Social Development Department. And James explained that the Church of North India believed that they need to be able to project Christ through their deeds rather than their words. And therefore, they don't do any direct preaching or evangelism. That will bring them into contact with Hindu fundamentalist government. In one of the tribal villages called Kutigara, he told us the story of an entire village who were non-Christian tribal people. And a few years before the time when he was telling us the story, the Church of North India had worked for some time, 5 or 6 years, in Kutigara, especially trying to teach the people self-worth, trying to teach them what their human rights were, what their rights as citizens of India were, and help them get the help that they needed to improve their lives. And one day, after this had been happening for years, the village headman approached James and he said that the people of the village now wished to worship his God and they wanted to be accepted into the church. They said that in the past they'd been living like animals and now they were living like human beings. All these years we were living in darkness, but now your people have shown us the light. We realize that the God whom you believe in is the real God. So the local minister, church minister, was informed, and he spent another 2 years with those people, teaching them about Christianity, testing to make sure they'd got the idea right, they really understood what they were letting themselves in for. And at the end of those 2 years, 100 families were baptized and confirmed as members of the church. And their enthusiasm didn't stop there. They said, well, okay, we need to build ourselves a church then. So we have a church for our village, place for our worship. One of the villages donated the land. The villages themselves did all the building, all the construction work. The only thing which really made a problem for them was the cost of some of the building materials. It was not a big cost for making a building. But shortly after that, some people from a URC church in northern England said they would be happy to support a specific project. And I pointed them in the direction of Kutigara. And they collected the money that was needed for the building materials. And I believe they actually went to Kutigara and took the money themselves in the end. So there's one clear case of sharing the gospel, not only using words, but using words only when necessary to explain. And it's a very biblical way of sharing. It's what the apostles usually did in the early church. A way of sharing that we see many times when we read through the book of Acts. So in our reading, which we're going to hear now from Deborah, we're going to hear one story of things happening that way. Okay, Deborah? Deborah's going to read to us from Acts chapter 3.
A lame man is healed. One day, Peter and John went to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the hour of prayer. There at a beautiful gate, as it was called, was a man who had been lame all his life. Every day he was carried to the gate to beg for money from the people who were going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John going in, he begged them to give him something. They looked straight at him, and Peter said, "Look at us." So he looked at them, expecting to get some money, something from them. But Peter said to him, "I have no money at all, but I give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I order you to get up and walk." But he took him by the right hand and helped him up. At once the man's feet and ankles became swollen. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and started walking around. Then he ran into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. The people here saw him walking and praising God, and one day recognized him as the beggar who had sat at a beautiful gate. They were all surprised and amazed at what had happened to him. As the man held on to Peter and John in someone's pulse, as it was called, the people were amazed and ran to them. When Peter saw the people, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why are you surprised at this? And why do you sour at us? Do you think that it was by means of our own power or godliness that we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, giving divine glory to his servant Jesus. But you handed him over to the authorities and to rejected him in Pilate's presence, even after Pilate had decided to set him free. He was holy and good, but you rejected him and said you asked Pilate to do you a favour of turning loose a murderer. You killed the one who leads to life, but God raised him from death, and we witnesses to this. It was the power of his name that they strengthened this lame man. What you see and know was done by faith in his name. It was faith in Jesus that used to made him well, as you can all see. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000.
So there's the pattern, there's the story, there's the pattern. Something happens, people go to the apostles and ask what's going on, what does this mean, what's it all about? And then the gospel is preached. And the result, both in this story in Acts and in India today, is that people, many people, are added to the church. Sharing our faith by what we do, how we live, how we use our money and so on, can be a very powerful way to witness. And so for part three, our final part of reflection, we're going to think about sharing our faith by starting where people are. Life is very basic in the villages in North India. In most cases, people's most urgent need is some way of making a living so that they can feed their families from day to day. But of course, people want to rise above just pure subsistence living to get a better future, at least, for example, for their children to have some kind of education so that they have more hope for the future. We saw some of the ways in which the church was giving people a small start. We saw one couple who were making baskets. This was their little industry, if you like, the very beginnings of something. They were making baskets for winnowing corn or rice. And they the husband prepared the cane, the wife wove the baskets, they took them to market, and in that way they reckoned that they could make 3 baskets a day, and as long as they sold them, they could make the equivalent of 80 pence a day, and that was sufficient to feed them and look after them, unless any kind of trouble or problem arose. In fact, on the day when we were there, they were worried because the baby was sick and they didn't know what to do about that. And they had to make the baskets, otherwise they wouldn't have anything for that day. We saw another couple who'd been helped to set up their own kind of mini business way of making a living. and the man was the village blacksmith. So the wife kept a fire going by using the bellows, and the husband hammered metal to make sickles and knives to sell to the farmers. And in that way, they made just enough to be able to live. That kind of approach and help to people in need was a positive, practical way for the church to demonstrate its care for the poorest of the poor. And they were surviving like that. The whole project was a wonderful example of the church meeting people at their point of need, just where they are. There was no discrimination of any kind. It wasn't that they helped people who were Christians or interested in Christianity and didn't help the others. It was nothing like that. And they gradually became respected and trusted. And in this way, people started asking, why is the church doing these things? And then there's the opportunity to share the gospel. And it really struck me that there was so much in tribal village life that made it feel as though you were stepping back into biblical times and that it could all have happened in the Acts of the Apostles anyway. In each village, when we arrived, we were welcomed by being sprinkled with water and having our hands washed. But in the first village we visited, they went a step further and they washed our feet when we arrived. It was fine, except that we had all been told that day the only way to get from village to village is to walk, put on some good shoes and socks and so on. You're going to be walking round all the time today. So having just done that and walked there, we took off the shoes, socks and everything to have our feet washed. That was the first thing that happened for the day, and put it all on again. In that village, about half the people were Christian, and they greeted us nicely, they chatted, they provided food, and they were particularly keen to show us an impressive new church that they had built themselves on land that one of the people in the village had donated for that purpose. The interesting thing was that the person who'd donated the land for the church was in fact the heathen priest. So he must have been at least sympathetic. And as the foot washing went on, those people who were not Christians, which was about half the village, were standing over by the church in a little group, watching everything that was going on. Amongst all the Christians, there was a normal greeting when you shook hands. Normally you expect to shake hands with people and say hello or how are you or something like this. Their greeting was, Zizu Sahai, Jesus is Lord. And this was their greeting all the way through for us. As we left the village where we'd stayed a couple of days, many of the people actually ran along beside the vehicle, waving to us, and they were all shouting, Zizu Sahai, Zizu Sahai, to say goodbye to us. And as I say, it sounded like something out of the New Testament, all part of their living, vibrant faith. And nobody was asking questions like, how do we make Christianity relevant for people here today? Everybody, Christian or not Christian, could see the very, very obvious relevance of Christian faith and see the difference it made. If we're going to be able to share our faith with others, we have to start where they are, and we have to be ready to share in humility and with patience. It's the example that Jesus set his followers when, as he prepared for the Last Supper together with the disciples, and he washed his disciples' feet. We know where the idea came from. So we have Jesus' example to follow, and we have Jesus' last instructions to his apostles to remind us of our need to share the faith. At the beginning of the service, we started with those instructions that Philip read for our call to worship. At the beginning of Acts, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus reminds his disciples and us that our task is to be witnesses for him, starting where we are. In their case, it was Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and away to the ends of the earth. In our case, it's Enfield, London, and wherever that leads us on to, if it does, moving out further to share with others. And in both cases, we're reminded that Jesus doesn't expect us to do this in our own strength. We have his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, within us, which will give us the strength, the power, the wisdom to do what he asks of us. Whenever the apostles were asked by people about how something had happened, we've just heard it in the story that Deborah read for us, how the lame man had been healed, for example, their answer was always the same. They said, it's in the name or by the power of Jesus Christ. That's what's going on around here. They always explain, it's not us who are doing it, not some kind of special magic or healing that we've got. It was Jesus' power at work that people were seeing. And in the same way for us here and now, the only possible and effective way for us to share our faith with others is in the name and by the power of Jesus, who gives us the task, and he also gives us the strength that we need to carry out that task.